Libya's new interim government needs money to build a democratic government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Leaders of Libya's National Transitional Council, the NTC, spoke at an international summit in Paris. There, European leaders agreed to a series of measures to help the new government revive Libya's stalled economy. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The 63 nations at the summit, including the US, China, and the European powers, gave full backing to Libya's new leadership, and they offered the NTC help to get the economy going. The summit agreed to unfreeze Libya's frozen assets. That could mean as much as $15 billion will soon be released. Charles Gurdon of the risk assessment firm Minas.
I think it'll obviously make a big difference because it means that salaries will be able to be paid, essential imports will be able to come into the country, and it will make a big difference and it'll certainly tide over the NTC for a number of months.
The EU also lifted its sanctions against 28 Libyan entities, mostly ports and oil companies, and the summit promised to help combat the shortages of food, water and medicines that threaten Libya with a humanitarian crisis. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are much lower at the moment, in Europe about 2% or more. Wall Street yesterday, markets were down more than 1%. The Dow lost 119 points to close at 11,493.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
And now, Marketplace Sports. The city of Baltimore is gearing up for its first ever Grand Prix auto racing event this weekend. Dozens of cars will race on city streets at speeds approaching 180 miles an hour. But drivers aren't the only ones taking the big risk. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports now the Grand Prix isn't expected to make grand profits.
Under a tent in downtown Baltimore, technicians put the finishing touches on a Lola Mazda race car.
They're doing a little bit of wiring work, some small body work, just final spit and polish, really, for the race on Saturday.
Tom Mapplethorpe is team manager for Oryx Racing. His team will compete in Saturday's American Le Mans Series race. The temporary course winds past Camden Yards and the Inner Harbor. Jay Davidson is president of the Baltimore Grand Prix. He says the event could bring $50 to $60 million to the region from ticket sales and tourism, not to mention freshly paved streets. But the promoter expects to lose money, at least at first.
We're going to have somewhat of a loss this year. And basically the idea is to create, you know, event equity where people want to come back and mark this on their calendars. They come back year after year. And then ultimately this can be a profitable event.
Other cities have struggled to stay fixtures on the racing circuit. Detroit suspended its Grand Prix during the recession. Terry Engstad of IndyCar says a race in June in Milwaukee didn't sell well.
If you turned on the TV, there weren't a lot of people in the grandstands. So it was just a tough one for us. I wish we could bat 1,000. We don't.
But Engstad is optimistic for Baltimore. He expects grandstand tickets for Sunday's race to sell out. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Some other engines are revving up this weekend with week one of college football underway. The University of Miami plays Maryland on Labor Day, but it does so under a dark cloud. The NCAA is investigating claims that a prominent booster and convicted Ponzi schemer provided players with money, jewelry, even trips to strip clubs. The accusations are so over the top that some sports analysts wonder if the NCAA could shut the football program down for at least a year, the so-called death penalty. Only one Division I college football program has been dealt the death penalty, Southern Methodist University in 1987, and the punishment created economic shockwaves. Thaddeus Matula directed the ESPN documentary Pony Excess, which chronicled the SMU story, and he's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here, Steve.
What happened to Southern Methodist after the NCAA handed down the death penalty?
If you look just at the conference that they could have been in, the Big 12, it averages a payout of $10 million a year per school. Now, the entire conference that SMU is currently in, Conference USA, the payout for the whole conference is $3 million. You're looking at 15 years, that's $150 million, and then you're not even looking at television deals and what you're getting at the gate. And I think it's also important to look at what it's done to the city of Dallas and the extra revenue that you've lost from hotels and people coming in and shopping and all that kind of stuff that goes around a game day weekend.
The problem at SMU was very economic in nature. Isn't that right? I mean, it mostly boiled down to money.
Certainly. I mean, we never really found extensive player arrests. There wasn't academic fraud. It was basically just making sure these kids had money to go out on a Saturday night, and that got out of hand a little bit.
And the accusation in Miami is much more nefarious than that. If the hammer does come down on Miami and they do get the death penalty, do you think the economic consequences will be similar?
Oh, yeah. I think Miami will suffer. It's not just that year or those 2 years. This is decades, because it's going to force the university to reevaluate whether they even want to have football. And if it does come back, it's going to come back in a much more reined in manner. I mean, because this is a major black eye on the entire institution, not just a football program.
Thaddeus Matula, director of the documentary Pony XS. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And finally, there's not much construction going on in Las Vegas these days. The housing market's a complete downer, and no major casinos are opening up this year either. So what do you do with all that heavy equipment and dirt? One company is charging people as much as $750 a pop for everyday non-construction workers to take a 10-minute tutorial and then get into these big backhoes and bulldozers to move dirt and sand around for no reason. What does the company call itself? Dig This. No, really, that's its name. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Living Social, Groupon, the Daily Deal, all the rage, of course. But how many discounts can you give before you go out of business?
If you get a response and you're a little teeny sandwich shop for 10,000 sandwiches, that's going to hurt your business instead of help your business.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good deal, bad deal. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.